Amen. Thank you, Dr. Beal. It's a joy to be here this morning. I appreciate the privilege so very, very much to be on this campus. When I come on the campus, I think my car runs better. When I head out to this campus, my car runs better. It's wonderful. Dr. Comfort, Brother Surratt, Dr. Scoville, and the faculty, distinguished faculty and members. It's a joy to be here this morning. I thank you for the privilege so very, very much. And it is a joy to have students from Ambassador ministering in our church. God has blessed us with them. I remember a few years ago, we had a song leader that was there 25 years. And his wife died. We had her funeral service. And about a year later, he married again. A lady that didn't want to come to our church because it was a little too small. Well, for about 4 years, I had to lead the music. I had to, and then our pianist, we had a great pianist, and she decided to go somewhere else. And so we use these little CD discs, and I'm praying, Lord, I need somebody to help. I need somebody to help. On a Saturday night, I was asking the Lord for somebody to help. The telephone rang. And Brother Fred Cusick, some of you may remember the Cusick. Brother Fred Cusick called and he said, Brother Cole, I'm an ambassador student. I want to visit your church tomorrow. I said, Brother, can you lead singing? He said, yes, I can. I said, come on and bring somebody to play the piano with you. He said, well, I got a fellow that can play a little bit, but I don't know how good he is. I said, if he can hit a note, bring him. And you know, they came and boy, I'll tell you, we had such a wonderful time with them for about 3 years. And then John Stockton got into it and it's just a real blessing to have those young people there. And our folks love them. They want to adopt them. Of course, the parents wouldn't let them do that, but that's the way it goes. You know, I really appreciate that. I did have an opportunity to make a career in business. I was a machinist and a mechanic. I used to rebuild the old Dynaflow transmissions. I did work for the services during the Korean War. I didn't have to go fight in the Korean War. I was fighting those machines, trying to get some equipment out that they could use to carry on the war. We were doing hydrostat switches for depth charges. We were doing high-altitude bombing equipment, air-to-air refueling equipment, ETO2 for the atomic subs. That runs a periscope up and down, 40 feet up in the air. You ought to see that thing go up in the air, Navy inspector standing there watching it. Put the pressure on it, boys. Put the pressure on it. Then he'd go check it out to see if there's any leaks. He'd let it down. Then he'd go check it out to see if there's any leaks. After a while, he'd put out a little anchor, pop it on the side, and that Navy anchor would go in there, and it belonged to the Navy. That was great. But you know God wouldn't want me to be there. He wanted me in the ministry. And I was already preaching. I was going to Northside Baptist Church, and I was going out on Tuesday night cottage prayer meetings and going out to the rest homes and places like that. And God just called me to preach. There's a couple of students from BJ there one day, and they said, I told them, I said, I'm going to Temple to study. They said, why are you going over there? You sound like you already been. No, I hadn't already been. And boy, did I learn a lot of things over there. That's back in the glory days. And I want to tell you, young people, you're in the glory days now. You are. You're in a great, great institution here. I thank God for Ambassador College. This is the one that we recommend, and we just praise God for it. After that big conference you had last week, I feel like that little Indian out there in Arizona. On July the 16th, 1945, he was sending up smoke signals. And that atomic bomb went off, and he saw that mushroom cloud go up in the air and said, my, I wish I'd have said that. I don't know what I can tell you though today that you already haven't already heard. Well, I praise God for leading Dr. Comfort and the team to build this college. We were having a pastor's fellowship at Devonshire years ago. By the way, I meant to mention my wife. She's sitting back over here in the blue dress. She's my lover girl. She's my lover girl. You'll never believe this. One morning, she was going with the ladies for lunch, and I just decided to write her a note. And I don't know why I did it, but I wrote down, dear lover girl. And I wrote her a note and signed it, your lover boy, and drew a heart on it. I put two little eyes in it and some ears like Spock, you know, on Star Trek. She came home and she said, "You're not going to believe this." She pulled a little slip out she got out of a fortune cookie. And she opened it up and it said, "Today you're going to meet your lover boy." Folks, I'm going to tell you, I've been leaving her notes ever since. She stood by me now for more than 60 years, and I thank God for her. Wonderful, wonderful helpmeet, and I thank God for her. But we were having a conference out there at Devonshire, and I heard about this, and so I called over, and we got a hold of somebody, and I said, "Can you send somebody over to tell us what you're going to do?" I never dreamed Dr. Comfort would come, but he walked in the door, and he got up and explained what they were going to be doing here. We were so impressed, we took them on right then. And we've been supporting the college ever since. And we thank God for the privilege. We've had young people in the past come and help us, but we just praise God for the ones we have now. We have Brother Dan Bishop, Brother Nathan Stevenson, and they're doing a good job. We thank God for them. We like to give them opportunities. When I went to Temple, I stayed there on campus as long as I had to. And then I got out and got me a little church, one of the chapel churches. And I worked in that chapel church. Got to preach every Sunday, teach every Sunday. Go out and pick up people, and it was great, folks. That's great training. You know, that's great training. You're getting to put into practice what you're studying in the classroom, and we praise God for that. We praise God for this place, and we praise God for the students. We've had Fred and Melissa Cusick, Don McMenamin, John Stockton, Dan Bishop, Nathan Stevenson, and many groups. In fact, group's going to be at our church on the 29th of October, and I think Brother Bill's going to be preaching. He may get even with me for telling you this. But you might not know about him. He was raised up in Yadkin County. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
I thought so. He come walking into town one day carrying a bag, and something in it was kicking. One of his buddies asked him, said, "What you got in the bag?" He said, "Rabbits." He said, "How many you got in the bag?" He said, "Guess." "Oh, I don't know how many you got in there." I said, "Oh, go ahead and guess. If you guess right, I'll give you both of them." Brother Bill, I didn't know you did that, but you may not have known it either. This morning, I want to speak to you for just a few minutes concerning voices of 1,000 in a choir. Let me ask you a question. How many of you love to sing? Oh, I'll tell you, singing is something, isn't it? Isn't it great to sing? I wish I could sing better. I used to sing better. But as you get a little older, the old vocal cords start stretching out. You know, now you can't hit those D's and E's and F's. And I was a tenor. Well, I'm not much of a tenor anymore, but I thank God for the privilege. I want you to turn your Bible, if you will, please. First to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. That's on, if you have an old Schofield Bible, which I use, that's on page 1335. I have my people spoiled to death. I give them a reference and they say, "What page?" Well, they're learning. They're learning. In fact, these young fellows did too. John Stockton got up one morning and he was preaching and he said, "Now turn to page so and so in your Schofield Bible." He got the message and he got it in there. But I want you to turn now, hold your finger there and go back to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. That's on page 88. Now, when you get your places, let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. The Bible says here in Exodus 15, verses 1 and 2, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." Now over to the book of Revelation. Chapter 5, let's read verses 9 and 10. "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for this school. How we thank you for these precious students. How we thank you for this wonderful staff. Lord, we thank you this morning for the effect they're having on the world today. We pray, Lord, that you might bless them as they study. And we pray, Lord, you'd bless them as they go out to minister. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd use us all for your glory and speak to our hearts this morning. Would you give us illumination of hearts and minds this morning? Lord, I pray that you'd use these lips to glorify thyself, and we'll give you the praise and the glory. Lord, thank you again for this precious opportunity. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in Exodus chapter 15, we have Moses singing a song, leading the congregation in a song of praise to the Lord. They have just been delivered through the Red Sea, that Red Sea experience, and they're just singing and praising the Lord. And we find that Miriam led the women in singing and praising the Lord. This was a great group of people. If you go back to chapter 12, you'll find out something of the number. They came out, 600,000 men and children. And think about the wives that came with them. Must have been at least 1.5 million people. And then there's another phrase, a verse that says, and a mixed multitude went with them. There were a lot of people out there that God had redeemed and brought them through that Red Sea experience. And so this is a song of deliverance, and it's a song of redemption of the host. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue, isn't that something? God reaching out and bringing men and women, boys and girls into the kingdom of God. God had delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage, and they sang praises unto him for their deliverance. Consider with me this morning just a few thoughts. It's very simple. First of all, the song of redemption in verse number 1. Moses and the people of Israel celebrate the grace and power of God here in a song of singular beauty and fervor. They really wanted to thank God. How much more our salvation through Jesus Christ, if the redemption song that they sang was so important, how we ought to thank God for our salvation. Amen. I was impressed with these young people thanking God for the things that for saving them and the things that he was doing through them. And I praise God for the opportunity that we have to serve him here upon this earth. Friends, I'll tell you something. He could have sent angels to do a lot better job than we can. But you know, it's a joy and a privilege just to get out and serve God, tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We should ever sing the songs of gratitude and praise to our Redeemer. Many hymn books have the doxology right in the front cover. You open up the cover. And there it is. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Boy, that's a great song. We ought to be doing that all the time in our hearts and our lives. And young people, I want to encourage you to do that. I encourage you to sing a song and let folks know that you love the Lord. We ought to continually praise God for our redemption. Consider what we have in him. We come into this world guilty, hell-bound sinners. The Bible says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. But, boy, thank God for that little word, but there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And friends, I'll tell you, he reached down into the mire of sin one day and picked me up and saved me and set my feet on a solid rock, put a new song in my heart, a new direction in my life, and boy, it's been different ever since. Out of joint with the world ever since. That's what we ought to do. On our way to hell. One day we heard about Christ dying for our sins. I was in the third grade, and my mother took my brother and sister and I, and we went up to a little tent that they'd set up on the side of the road. They had some sawdust on the floor. They had some old knocked together benches and a little old platform up. And I remember that preacher up there preaching, and he held out his arms demonstrating how Christ went to that cross and died for us that we might be saved. And boy, when he gave that invitation, the Holy Spirit of God grabbed me by the nape of my neck and pulled me right out of there. I don't know how many people's feet I stepped on going by there, but I did. And I got down to the front, and the preacher said, "What you come for, son?" I said, "I need to get saved. I need to get saved." He said, "Sit down." Kept on giving an invitation. Finally, the whole row was full. Then he took his Bible and he knelt down beside him and told me something he didn't have to tell me. He said, son, you know you're a sinner? Oh, yeah, I knew that. Who doesn't know that? Right? Amen? We know that. He said, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's you. I said, yes, sir, I know that is. He said, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Do you believe that? I said, yes, sir. I do believe that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I tell you what, I repented of my sin. I called on the name of the Lord. I had the best night's sleep I ever had in my whole life. I had been thinking this when I'd hear people preach about Christ. I said, boy, if that were true, if that were true. Well, I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit of God convinces your heart it's true, you know it's true. And you trust him as Savior. And folks, I tell you, that's a wonderful thing. Praise God. It didn't happen because of good works. We're not saved by good works. You know that as well as I do. The Bible tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we know that. That's true. And folks, I tell you, it doesn't come by good works. It doesn't come that way. And you need to tell people that. People today are being told that. You just got to, you just live a good life. Everything's going to be okay. When you get down to the end, all your good things going to outweigh the bad things. You're going to be all right. That's a lie. Right straight out of the pit of hell, that's a lie. So it doesn't come by good, doesn't come by reformation either. Well, I got to reform. I remember one fellow that used to come to church, and I talked to him about the Lord, and he said, I got some things I got to get straightened up. Well, he went to the hospital. I went to talk to him in the hospital. He said, preacher, I got some things I got to get straightened up. He come out, and he's still saying, preacher, I got to get some things I got to straighten up. Back in the hospital, preacher, I got to get some things I got to get straightened up. As far as I know, he went out to meet the Lord. He never got those things straightened up because he never realized what I need to do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just couldn't grasp that. And friends, that just breaks my heart. That breaks my heart when I think about that. Now, he's got a son today that's saved and serving the Lord, but he didn't. He didn't. I had another one, that man called me, and he said, preacher, my dad's having a surgery this morning. He's having an aorta fixed, and he's not saved, and I'm concerned about him. Would you go talk to him? And I went over to talk to him at the hospital. And I talked to him about the Lord and trusting the Lord. He said, I do need to get saved. I said, why don't we do that right now? Why don't you just ask the Lord right now to save you? He said, let's do it. Well, in come a nurse with a hypodermic needle. It'll always happen, friends. You look out. When somebody's getting ready to get saved, Satan's going to send somebody in to try to disrupt it. Be ready for it. Expect it. I'm thinking, oh, that's just going to kill this. Brother Bill, you know, that just kind of break it. She went out the door, and he said, now let's get back to this business. I got to get saved. And praise God. I said, all right, let's do it. Here come another. Well, we got to get your menu fixed out. Well, I had the menu. You know, I wanted to give him the menu that he really needed, not the one that's going to take care of supper. Well, we finally got down to the business, and he asked the Lord to save him. And I asked him, I said, Mr. Griffin, did you really trust Christ? He said, yes, I did. I said, did he save you? He said, yes, he did. My friends, he died on the operating table. If he hadn't trusted Christ that day, he would be in hell today. But he's over there in glory. Don't ever give up. Just keep on plugging. Keep on plugging. That's what we got to do. Just keep on going. It's not the result of reformation or joining the church or baptism. Not any of those things. We just keep praying and asking God to save people. And praise God, Jesus tasted death for every man too. And you know that word whosoever means you can put your name in there. I'm glad he didn't say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that Gene might be saved. I wouldn't know, is he talking about me or somebody else? But he said whosoever. And boy, you can put your name right in there. And that's a wonderful thing. And you can tell people about that too. You know, we ought to give God glory and be grateful for what he's done for us. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. We ought to rejoice. Friends, have that smile on your face. I tell you something. That downward smile is never going to bring anybody to Christ. You need to be friendly. He that hath friends must show himself to be friendly, the Bible says. We ought to ever rejoice that God has forgiven us of our sins. And I praise God that he has. We should praise God in the presence of other believers. Encourage other believers. You know something? There are a lot of people today that are despondent, disturbed, and discouraged. They are saved, but they are discouraged. They've got their eye in the wrong place. And folks, we need to encourage them. Do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart this morning?
Amen.
I'll tell you something. I praise God that you're able to come to this school. I praise God that you were able to get up this morning. I praise God that we woke up on time to get up this morning. I don't hear well. I have a problem called Meniere's disease, and the doctor told me when he diagnosed it, he said, I got good news and bad news. I said, all right, what's the bad news? He said, you might go deaf. Well, I think some of that's probably happening because I do have a problem hearing now. I said, what's the good news? He said, when you go deaf, you won't get dizzy anymore. I said, oh boy, that's a wonderful trade-off, isn't it? I thank you for that help. You're a real encouragement. Well, we ought to encourage people. Encourage Christians that are despondent. Encourage them. Get them back on the right track. They need a song sung, and we ought to sing it. Amen? We ought to do that. We should praise God for our salvation before a lost and dying world, too. The Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How are they going to see your faith if you don't do something to let them see it? They see it in the works that we do, the things that we do. Get up in the morning, get that big Bible, haul it out to church. Let people see that. Whenever you have a meal out, take time to pray. I don't mean just, you know, headache type. Put those hands together or hold hands with your mate and pray. And pray. And don't just say, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Goodbye. Spend some time in prayer there, thanking God for His blessings, His food, and the opportunity to be a witness to people in the restaurant where you are. And you are being a witness to them in the restaurant. Friends, redeemed people must share the message. When we do, lost men are touched by the gospel, and the Holy Spirit of God will get a hold of their hearts and bring them to Christ. And how we need to do that today. Remember, the Holy Spirit does the work. All we have to do is tell them about it. Tell them about Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God will begin to bring that conviction, and that they'll have pricks in their heart, just like old Paul did. You know, when Saul was going up to Damascus, the Lord said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, it is. And folks, pretty soon, they're going to come to know Christ. Number one, there's the song of redemption. Number two, the sign of defeat. In chapter 15 and verse number 24, you'll notice something here. The Bible says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, you have to remember something about this. The song had ended, and then came a three-day journey into a dry hole called Shur, the wilderness of Shur. Those who had sung praises unto the Lord just a few days ago now became a chorus of complainers. Oh, they're complaining. And, you know, Cicero said this back in 106 B.C. to 43 B.C., said nothing is more unpredictable, than the mob. And folks, that sure is true. They were praising the Lord one day, 3 days later, they're moaning and groaning and murmuring. Ladies and gentlemen, remember this, complaining is evidence of a carnal nature. We have too many Christians today who murmur. They murmur. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. Something doesn't suit them. They don't feel right. They feel that God has forsaken them. Others complain that they're not receiving from the Lord all that they should. Those charges are wrong. They're wrong. The Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that wonderful? He's with us all the way, all the time. He said, you go into all the world, preach the gospel. And I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, even unto the end of the age. And He surely is that. And the Lord has promised to meet our needs. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things is He talking about? Go back and read the context. He's talking about food. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about shelter. And He says, you'll have these things if you just seek first the kingdom of God. I was taking some Greek over at the college there in Charlotte. And Dr. Stovall one day was talking to him, and I said, you know, Dr. Stovall, I said, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. He said, now, wait a minute. Brother Coley said, that's easy to say after you've done got your first million. Oh, I said, oh, Doc, you just made a mistake. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's impossible after you do something else first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take him first. Hold him up there first, friends, and I can tell you he'll do something to you. Now, one who murmurs not only has a carnal nature, has a short memory. A short memory. Now, if our memory is in working order, we're going to trust God rather than self in the darkest of hours. I read a story about a British preacher named Samuel Chadwick. He was an English preacher and an eloquent speaker. He knew that God had redeemed him from a life of sin, but he had a short memory. He began to depend upon his ability as a speaker rather than upon God. He fully expected his preaching to bring revival in his church, but nothing happened. On a Saturday night, he was going over his notes for the sermon. God revealed to him his sinful egotism. He had believed that his strength lay in his ability to preach. He had forgotten that God alone is the source of all blessing. In an agonizing struggle, the young preacher sought the face of God. All he could hear was burn, burn, burn those notes. As the fire consumed his elegant notes, it seemed as a new fire was kindled in his heart. The next day, when Samuel Chadwick stood before his audience, there was the beginning of a mighty revival. Folks, we must remember to depend upon God. Depend upon God. Depend upon your ability. Forget it. Depend upon God. He's the one. You might get up and make all the errors in the world in grammar. And you might split infinitives and do everything else. But I'll tell you something. You depend on God and He will honor it. He will do it. I remember one fellow I used to listen to when I was in Chattanooga. He had a speech impediment. The first time I heard him preach on the radio, I said, good man, he don't need to be on the radio. You can't understand him. You know what? I kept listening to him. Pretty soon I could understand every word he said. Hey, God just does that. And we need to remember that. One who murmurs is short of sight. He moves always in the confines of a small space. He only sees the problem, never the problem solver. Listen, keep God in the middle of the problem. Keep Him there. He's ought to be the middle, not down in a corner somewhere. When you have a problem, the first place you go is to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. One who murmurs is short of faith. I just don't see how this is going to work out. You ever come to that place in your life? Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you something. It's not up to me to see how it's going to work out. It's up to God to work it out. Amen? That's the way we do it. And we do that. Friends, listen, the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 11 and verse number 22b says this, have faith in God. Have faith in God. There are four words that you can take with you the rest of your life. Have faith in God. Don't shuck Him. Don't doubt Him. Just have faith in God. Now, God wants His people to rejoice. He wants us to be singing people. In fact, if you look over in your Bible here to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5, the Bible says this in verse 18, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, that means debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Folks that have this attitude of singing and making melody in the heart to the Lord, they're not short-sighted. They don't have a short memory. They're not these that turn away from the Lord so quickly. They have the faith. And folks, I'll tell you something. Lack of faith brings doubt, and doubt is sin. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We need to remember that. Praise God. When sin enters, and the joy of the Lord is gone. When sin enters, the joy of the Lord is gone. When that praise goes, the joy goes. We need to remember, we need that joy in our hearts. Now, remember what David said in Psalm 51:12? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, praise God for His salvation. But you know, whenever you begin to doubt, whenever things come in, I tell you, that joy gets away from you. Well, praise God. We need to get it back. And there is a way back. What is it? If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you confess that sin, that's it. That's a little if. It's a big word. Do it. Whenever there's a doubt there, take it right to the Lord. You know, In the need of this hour, we are Christians who can withstand the trials. We need Christians who can withstand the trials and overcome in the face of great difficulties. Some of you folk are old enough to remember Franklin D. Roosevelt. Some of you just read about him in a hymn book, in the history book. But Franklin D. Roosevelt was crippled by polio when he was a child. He thought he was going to spend the rest of his life in bed. He decided to become a writer. He only had one problem. Nobody wanted his material. He couldn't get it out. Roosevelt did not become a writer, but he did become President of the United States of America and served from 1933 to the time of his death, March 29, 1945, just 83 days after becoming president for the fourth time. Franklin Delano Roosevelt served as president longer than any other president in United States history. He was there December the 7th, 1941, when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Now, you can remember some of that by reading that in the history book, too. Some of you can. Some of you remember it. I think Dr. Scoville probably remembers that. I think he remembers that. And I think he was around then. I think he was. Now, I might be pushing him a little bit. Folk, I'll tell you, Beethoven must have thought that his difficulty was worse than any other. It's tough to be a musician when you're deaf, but he wrote music that we still play and sing today. Isn't that great? How about John Milton, being blind, wrote some of the most awesome poetry in the world. Folks, just have faith in God. Just keep on plugging. That's what we've got to do, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, one more thing. I see the clock on the wall just keeps advancing, and I'm not. So let's go on. We ought to understand this. When you have a headache, go to the doctor. When you have a toothache, go to the dentist. But when you have a heartache, go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. I used to sing in a quartet years ago, a cappella quartet, and we used to sing this song, "When your heart is aching, go to Jesus. He's the dearest friend you can know. You'll find him standing close beside you, waiting peace and comfort to bestow. Heartaches, take them all to Jesus. Come to him today. Do it now without delay. Heartaches, take them all to Jesus. He will take your heartaches all away." Folks, he will. He'll remove those heartaches from you. And that's it. Friends, victory comes. After victory came the murmuring, but now expect it and overcome it. Now, one more thing, and that's this, the sign of victory. And you see that in verse number 25 here in Exodus chapter 15. And he cried unto the Lord. Now, they go to Moses. They're murmuring to Moses against him. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." That's Jehovah Rapha. Amen. He's the Lord that heals. Isn't that great? That Moses is a good example for us. When he had a problem, what did he do? He took it to the Lord. He went right straight to the Lord. You know, sometimes we have a problem. We try to get it out. We're going to work out plan A and plan B. And if that don't work, plan C is to go to the Lord. No, we need to go to the Lord on plan A. Take it up there right now, right first, and get that done. Consider the situation. They'd come now through the Red Sea experience, and they'd watched the Egyptians trying to do the same. By the way, they had the first freeway pilot right there in the Red Sea. That'll burn in after a while. They had seen the Lord work mighty, mightily down in Egypt. He delivered them. He had protected them with a cloud at night. Dark to the Egyptians, light to the Israelites. He had led them by that pillar of fire in the day. They had crossed the Red Sea. Now they come and they see the waters made sweet with the tree in there, which is a type of Christ on the cross. When they come to no water, here they are, and they're grumbling and moaning and going on. They couldn't drink of them. What are we going to drink? This reminds me that in the ministry, many times there'll be people that complain and murmur just like these people in Israel did. you young fellows going into the pastorate, just expect it. Be ready for it. Take it to the Lord when you hear it. And don't do like one of my friends did. He said, if you don't like it, go home and look in the mirror. My wife and I were having lunch or breakfast one morning recently at, you know, that great restaurant called Bojangles. Oh, that's a great one. That's a good one. We were there this morning. But I want to tell you, we were there and we were talking back and forth with some friends from another church. And when they left, a lady sitting over with her husband, another booth, came over. And she said, could I talk to y'all a minute? I noticed y'all were talking with your friends there about your church and everything. She said, we got a real problem in our church. I said, you do? She said, yeah. She said, we're not from this area, but we have a problem in our church. I need to talk to somebody about it. So we listened to her. She said, you know, pastor told us he didn't like what, she said, you old folks don't like what's going on here. Just leave. Pastor, never do that. Never tell anybody to leave. Don't do that. Just pray for them. If they're out of joint, just pray for them to get back in joint. Pray for them to get right with God, because there's some kind of problem there. I think the pastor had a problem. I really do. That lady stood there and tears in her eyes. She said, I was raised in that church. My daddy was raised in that church. We were saved in that church. And he's telling us to leave. I said, well, what are you doing? She said, we visited another church and said it was like a breath of fresh air. Folk, don't tear up the church like that. Don't do that. That tree is a picture of the cross of Calvary upon which Jesus died for the sins of the world. The Bible says, His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Isn't that something? He bare the sins for me on that cross. And the Bible tells us in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah that He was marred more than any man. That means you wouldn't be able to recognize a human on that cross. He was mutilated so badly by those people. And He did it for me. And He did it for you. And He did it for the world. He tasted death for every man. Folk, I want to tell you something. I don't know about you, but that just kind of tears my heart out to know that He suffered so for me. For me. It was my sins that put Him there. Your sins that put Him there. And how we need to tell people about the Lord Jesus who loved them so much. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Some of you might remember reading about Robert Burns, the poet from England, or Scotland, I think. I'm not sure now just which one. But I used to work in his shop. I was a machinist. And I worked with one of his direct descendants named Robert Burns. I was talking to him about the Lord one day. He said, Brother Cole, he said, I tell you, I do know the Lord. I've trusted Him as my Savior. And that good granny's alive. I've gone way too far. I'll never be asked back here. He said, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. He said, but I want to tell you about it. He said, I was going to a Church of Christ. They kept telling me I had to be baptized to get saved. He said, well, around Chattanooga, they got some creeks around there, and they'd dam up some of them, and they used baptizing. And he said, we had one out at the creek. He said, I was all dressed up to get baptized. And Brother Bill, he said, I was there waiting, and said, the choir was across on the other side, and they started singing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He said, I got the message. I turned around, and I took off out of there, and I went to the Baptist church next Sunday morning, and I trusted Christ as my Savior and joined the church, and then I got baptized. I tell you, friends, that's something. First comes freedom in Christ for the believer. Then comes the awesome responsibility of telling others about Christ. And folk, we have that command, do we not? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Well, praise God, folks. That's really something. That's a wonderful thing. Let me sum it up just by saying this. Number one, be sure you're saved. Be sure you're saved. The Bible says, examine your steps. See that you're in the faith. Make sure you're in the faith. Number two, submit yourself wholly to the Lord for service. Paul said this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable in the Lord, which is a reasonable service. It's only reasonable. And do that, would you? He also said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. How wonderful that is. Remember something else. You're ambassadors for Christ. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ. As though we did beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. Let me encourage you, friends. Let's be good ambassadors. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for this privilege that we've had to speak to these young people. Thank you for them. I pray you bless them, Lord, as they study their subjects that they're doing, preparing themselves for the ministry. Lord, I pray that you put your hand upon each one of them and use them in a mighty way for your service or in your service. And Lord, we'll thank you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Bless this college. Bless this staff. And Lord, we pray that you might help it to grow and grow and grow and send out many more to get the gospel of Christ out around the world. We'll thank you. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.